The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, and we are here today previewing Sunday's key NFC East matchup, which I know sounds really strange with the Giants having 3 wins, Eagles only having 4, but that's what we're doing, and here to help us do that is Brandon Lee Gauten of Bleeding Green Nation. Brandon, how you doing? Thanks for coming on.
Ed, thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here. It's funny because usually we're not on a podcast together, but we are on a podcast with the same mutual co-host, Rob Sasquerera, obviously on the SB Nation NFL show.
Yeah, which one of the shows do you do? I do the look ahead on Thursdays with Stats, and you do which one of the shows, Brandon?
We do the off day debrief on Tuesdays. We call it the Oddcast for short because it's fun and it gets weird. But obviously those are the top two shows on the SB Nation NFL show: the Oddcast and the Look Ahead.
Of course they are, because they have the best people. All right, so hey, let's talk a little bit about Sunday, and you know, as I said in my intro, it just, you know, you and I have been on opposite sides of big NFC East games before, but it's so weird to consider this a big game when, you know, the Giants have 2 wins, the Eagles have 3, and we're heading into week 10. And to be honest with you, you know, neither one of these teams is playing anywhere near like a playoff team. And yet this game has playoff implications. It's just strange.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, it's not 3. It's 3.5 wins, technically, because of the time.
Well, you know, the number under the W says 3. Yes. But, yeah, I get your point.
Yeah, and look, I'm not actually proud of that. But you know, it needs to be considered, because when you look at the standings here, you know, all the other teams in the NFC East are what? They have 2 wins here. Right. It's an incredibly weak division. The Eagles are not very good, but I mean, yeah, the Giants can gain some ground, a lot of ground, really, with a win this week over the Eagles. And then really looking at it from an Eagles perspective, it's like they barely need to do anything to actually win this division. I think if they really win like 1 or 2 more games and, you know, include this one against the Giants in there, that might be enough to do it.
You know, I was actually on the podcast on your network with John Stolness earlier this week. And we were talking about how many wins it's going to take to win East, and could it actually take just 6 wins to win this division?
I think it could take, well, again, if we're counting the half, 5.5, really, as low as that. Wow. Because, you know, if the Eagles get 2 more here, I mean, basically, another NFC's team at that point would then have to get 4 more. because they all have two wins right now. So it's like, do we really even see that? Do we really see? I mean, maybe you think the Giants can get there, and maybe, but then even then, okay, so maybe not 5-10-1, but 6-9-1 probably would at that point, or especially for the Eagles there, because then another team would have to win 5 games, and I don't think any team in the NFC East is winning 5 games at this point.
No, you're probably right. So if the Eagles can get to, Eagles get to 6 wins and that might do it. So let me ask you about this team. The Eagles are coming in Sunday and they're coming in a lot healthier this season. So with all of the reinforcements that the Eagles are getting on Sunday, are you kind of optimistic that you're going to see a better Philadelphia team not only on Sunday, but maybe for the rest of the season?
Yeah, it's interesting. The way you phrased it to me helped me kind of put this in perspective. Like you asked me, okay, who from the first Eagles game, Giants game in week 7, which is only so close, not that long
right,
ago.
A couple of weeks ago.
Who from that game who was missing might actually be back this week? And it's a long list. I mean, I came up with 11 players. It's Dallas Goedert. It's Isaac Sumalo. It's Alshon Jeffrey. It's Miles Sanders. It's Jalen Reagor. It's Jason Peters. It's TJ Edwards. It's Malik Jackson. It's Jack Driscoll. It's Kayvon Wallace. It's Rudy Ford. Now, that's 21% of the Eagles' 53-man roster. So that's a pretty crazy figure. And from that group, not everyone is necessarily a lock to play. I would say Miles Sanders, Malik Jackson, and Isaac Sumalo might be the least likely, but I think Sanders and Sumalo will actually play, and maybe Lane Johnson could actually be unlikely in there too. We'll see. But in any case, that's like 8 starters from that group that the Eagles could potentially be getting back here. Now, I also said to you, I don't really think health alone is a magical fix, because the Eagles went 0-2-1 to start the season when they had a number of these guys, and including a very bad week 1 loss to Washington, who the Giants have beat twice now. So I can't say health alone, you know, fixes everything. I would say it certainly, you know, it gives room for optimism. It improves their outlook, but it's no guarantee.
No, but it has to make you feel better when you've got, at least when you're closer to having the team that you expected to have on the field.
Especially, I guess, the biggest things are, you know, if Lane Johnson's starting at right tackle and he's able to actually make it through a game healthy, which he hasn't since week 3, that's a big deal. You know, he wasn't able to play against Dallas. His knee started to swell up right before the bye. And some weapons here. The Eagles haven't had him since the Ravens game in week 6. And Jalen Reagor came back against the Cowboys right before the bye. But, you know, that was his first game back. Maybe he's a little bit healthier now after having the extra time to rest. You know, getting some big playmakers, which is much needed for an offense that has struggled, that could be a big deal.
You know, speaking of that struggling offense, obviously – Carson Wentz's play so far this season has not been ideal. It hasn't been, you know, what you would want and what you would expect, you know, from a guy who's done, you know, some of the things in the NFL that Wentz has already done in his career. I have kind of a theory with Wentz, and let me see if you agree with it, if you can expand on it or have another reason for his struggles. I tend to think that, you know, what happens with a lot of quarterbacks, you get injuries, you lose personnel, the play around you isn't as good as it might have been, you know, in other times, in other years. And maybe you press, maybe you try to do some things that you wouldn't ordinarily do. Maybe you feel like you have to make extra plays, like you have to do a little bit more. And I wonder if that's part of it with Carson Wentz, if he's just looking around and saying, I have to take on more, I have to take more risks, and you know, and the result of a lot of those plays just isn't good. Is that part of it with Wentz, or do you see something else with his struggles this year?
I think that's certainly a factor. I think you can't look at this organization and really say they've done everything they possibly can in good faith to, you know, really try to ensure his success. I don't think you can do that. The Eagles have had unideal supporting cast throughout his career. They arguably have had the worst receiving core in the league for at least two of his seasons. You know, the offensive line, obviously, this year, it's kind of unlucky a little bit there with injuries and such. But even when, you know, I'll put it like this, like for as bad as the offensive line or undeal as it's been, like there's still times you'll see this year where, you know, he has an opportunity where it's a clean pocket, where he's kind of, even in the Dallas game most recently, I mean, he rolled out from pressure and he's in the open field and he has a oncoming Dallas defender bearing down on him and he doesn't throw the ball away or get rid of it. He holds on to it and then tries to throw it away or something as he, like, he's getting hit and he fumbles it. Like, that's just, you know, that's no one's fault but Carson Wentz. And there's been too many times this year where he's made poor decisions. You know, he leads the NFL in turnover-worthy plays by Pro Football Focus. And it's also, like, by a large amount, too. I think it's, like, 10 or more than the next quarterback. Like, he's been awful this year. He's up to, like, 55 fumbles, I think, in 64 career games. That's always just going to be an issue. And obviously Giants fans know that all too well with Daniel Jones and his fumbles. So it's a huge issue. I think there's a lot going on. I think it's not just one thing. You can, you know, pick and choose and then you fix that. I tend to think that he can't be this bad for the rest of the season just because of what we've seen out of him in his career. We know he's not this player, but I mean, at the same time, like, I don't have a lot of confidence that it's going to be an immediate turnaround for him because he kind of looks broken right now.
You know, you mentioned the word confidence and I have to toss this out there because I just find it, I find it strange. SB Nation does the SB Nation Reacts polls each week. And I know, you know, you generally use some of that for content, as do I at Big Blue View. And I find it, I should have expected this. I think at one point, Eagles fans' confidence was down to like 8%. And I think even now, I think fans are voting around 30 or 31%. And yeah. I just find it odd that we see that and we see Giants fans' confidence with two wins over Washington, which it seems to be the only team they can beat. And I think Giants fans' confidence is sitting at like 74%. And it boggles the mind a little bit. But are you at all surprised that, at least, you know, from the perspective of Eagles fans that their confidence in that team seems to be at such a low point?
I'm not surprised. So that's really how I feel. I think my perspective, you know, isn't from the Eagles side, looking at the Giants thing is I think this isn't me trolling or trying to roast. I'm just saying, like, I think the bar has been lowered because the Giants have, you know, been through a rough stretch now where it's like, okay, it finally looks like there might be some promise here. They might have hired the right head coach. I think, you know, for that to kind of be coming together, then, like, okay, there's hope. There's optimism with that. With the Eagles, you know, I think it's becoming increasingly clear that the Super Bowl year was, I don't want to say fluke in terms of like they didn't deserve to win, because they did. They absolutely did deserve to win the Super Bowl. Like, they were the best team that year. Howie Roseman made a lot of great moves. Doug Peterson was awesome. Carson Wentz was awesome before Nick Foles came in. Like, it was a legitimate win. But when you look at it in the scope of the rest of what this front office is doing, it certainly looks like the outlier, especially for who has been here as general manager for 10 years now, and it doesn't look like sustained success is really going to be possible. Like, it's been a constant, you know, they just keep getting worse. It's a decline ever since they won the Super Bowl, and I just think a lot of people have lost faith in Howie Roseman and then even Doug Peterson now. And it's a shame because it felt like the team was really set up for success. I know you've mentioned that before on the look ahead even. Like, you thought this team, you know, coming off the Super Bowl, they were going to be a problem for the NFC East in a long time. And really, they should have been. There was no good reason they couldn't have done that. And I think that's where a lot of frustration comes from. It's like they had this opportunity to be more, and the front office has botched things. The coaching staff has mostly done they don't deserve as much blame as the front office, I'll put it that way. And then obviously Carson Wentz's regression has been a major factor. So it's all about expectations. With Giants fans, I think the expectations are low and they're exceeding them. With Eagles fans, the expectations have been high and they've been coming well short.
I won't disagree with that at all when you talk about the bar being lowered for the Giants. I think only one playoff appearance since 2011. You know, six or seven of those seasons have been losing years. It just hasn't been good. And at the risk of tossing out a sort of dangerous question for a Philadelphia writer, I'm going to ask you this. If you look at the Giants over the last 3 or 4 years, with the exception of the 2016 year, which is their outlier when they went 11-5 and made the playoffs, they've been pretty much a train wreck. All right. They've been a train wreck, you know, for 4, 5, 6 years now. When you look at the New York Giants from the outside with a new head coach, you know, with a lot of new personnel, a lot of really close losses this year. I mean, do you still from the outside see them as a train wreck, or do you see them as a team that is getting closer to maybe getting this right and getting back on track?
So I would say Dave Gettleman is my favorite general manager in the NFL because I have the most confidence in him to not make the Giants good. So as long as Dave Gettleman is there, the answer is definitely no. But I'm guessing, you know, the Giants will sadly finally move on from him after this season. And yeah, I think there's enough from Joe Judge to have hope. I'm not going to say enough to know he's going to be this awesome head coach, but enough to be like, okay, this guy might actually know what he's doing, and the players are playing hard from him or for him. There's some hope there. I still think the quarterback has to be fixed. I'm not a big Daniel Jones believer. I can kind of see why you can talk yourself into him, like, especially more so with Dwayne Haskins. Like, I just don't get Dwayne Haskins at all. I can't talk myself into him. I just think
But Dwayne Haskins went to the same high school as Daniel Snyder's son. Isn't that a good reason to draft an NFL quarterback?
Yeah, of course. You can't question Washington's decision making. They always have it right down there. But yeah, you know, Daniel Jones just being the turnover machine that he is, in addition to Carson Wentz being the one he is now. Yeah, I don't have the most faith in Jones. They have to get the right GM, really. That'll be key. Yeah, so I think, you know, they're a little bit better outlook wise than I expected them to be this year, but still not, I wouldn't say leaps and bounds.
All right, Brandon, let's take a quick break here for a word from our SB Nation sponsors. When we come back, we'll talk specifically about Sunday's matchup.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Beloved brands know customer relationships are everything. That's why over 130,000 trust Klaviyo to power smarter digital relationships across their websites, emails, SMS, and reviews. And now, there's Klaviyo AI, your guide to smarter insights, decisions, work, and results. Brands like Everyman Jack trust Klaviyo AI to personalize product recommendations that keep customers coming back. Discover Klaviyo AI at klaviyo.com/box. That's klaviyo.com/box.
Okay, Giants fans, we're back here on the Valentine's Views podcast, and we're talking with Brandon Lee Gauten of SB Nation's Bleeding Green Nation about Sunday's Giants versus Eagles game. So, Brandon, I have to ask you, and I asked you this in the five questions that we exchanged. You know, you made the pick this week of picking the Giants to win, and I'm not necessarily going to ask you, you know, why you made that pick, because I can understand why. I'm just curious how what the reaction was over at BGA to you picking the Giants to win.
Yeah, I don't think it was the firestorm that you might have expected. I think certainly when you look at the polling results on the post that I did for Bleeding Green Nation, I set it up with the line, you know, so I put in there, which bet do you like more? Do you like the Eagles at 3.5 point favorites, or do you like the Giants as getting the 3.5 to cover. And 66%, I believe, voted for the Eagles winning and covering at 3.5. So, you know, a majority of the fan base still believing in the team. But I think part of that has to do with, like, bye week. There's been time for people to kind of talk themselves back into this team. I think we see it at the beginning of every season, Ed, where you kind of look at all those SB Nation React polls, like you kind of brought up there. If you look at every team, no matter how bad their might outlook be coming into the season, like let's say the New York Jets, like everyone has confidence. Fans want to believe, and I get it, and that's good. Mm-hmm. Fans should want to support their team and have hope, especially in, you know, a very terrible year by many accounts that 2020 is. Like I get it, but at the same time, so my point is that like you kind of distance yourself from the losing and the bad, and you start to kind of like, okay, we have hope again. But I mean, the Eagles were looking terrible, like heading into the bye. They did not look good in the first half, and really, you know, like they're 28th in DVOA. They're lower than the Giants, who are 25th. Like this is a bad football team. Maybe they get healthy. Maybe Carson Wentz turns it around. I can't rule out Doug Peterson getting this team to play their best football in December, because he always has them playing their best football in December. I'm not saying there's no reason for hope, but you certainly can't just like dismiss the chances of the Eagles losing this game when they could have very well lost to the Giants in Week 7 if Evan Engram doesn't drop that pass.
All right, so look at this game, and obviously it was only, you know, 3 weeks ago that these teams played. And I look at this game, people always ask me, you know, what do you think the key matchup is? And I always go back to the Giants offensive line, which really, really struggled early in the season, has played much better in recent weeks. I always go back to that group against that really, really good Philadelphia defensive front as really, you know, what I think of it as a key matchup, especially allowing the Giants to run the ball, you know, keeping some of the pressure off Daniel Jones, trying to, you know, make fewer situations where he ends up indecisive and not sure what he wants to do with the ball, which tends to turn out badly. You know, for you, is there a key matchup in this game?
It probably comes down to that, really, because that's the strength of the Eagles team. I mean, they've invested so many resources into their defensive line. They have three defensive tackles making like top 20 interior defensive line money. And Fletcher Cox, Malik Jackson, who again may or may not play, we'll see how he progresses this week. And then Javon Hargrave, who was their big free agent signing this offseason, who really hasn't done anything. And now in fairness to him, he did enter the season injured, but it's pretty disappointing when you make that your premier free agent addition and he kind of just hasn't shown up at all. So maybe he turns it on in the second half. That would be nice to see. Brandon Graham has been awesome this year. You know, there always used to be the conversation. This is going back. Brandon Graham, Jason Pierre-Paul, the Eagles messed up by not taking JPP. Well, you know, Brandon Graham has been pretty important to the Eagles here, and he's having a career season, late in his career here, but he's looking legitimately good. And sure enough, Brandon Graham sealed the Eagles win over the Giants in Week 7 when he strip attacked Daniel Jones. So, definitely going to need a big performance from the defensive line. It's hard to have confidence in this Eagles offense right now. So I think you're really just going to have to count on the defense to kind of carry the way. And if that's the case, then I think, you know, generating turnovers really and actually getting the offense into some favorable positions where usually it's the Eagles defense that gets bad and put into bad positions by the Eagles offense turning over the ball. It'd be nice to kind of flip that around and give the offense some short fields here.
Does the winner or loser of this game in your mind come down to the simple idea of which one of these two quarterbacks makes fewer boneheaded mistakes?
I do, yeah. And I think that's why, you know, usually it's tough for me to pick I usually just have a standing policy. I can't pick the Giants to beat the Eagles. Why would I do that when the Eagles are 21-4 in the last 25 games? It's 8 straight wins. You know, the all-time series is in favor of the Eagles now, which is crazy because they never let it at any point until last December. Like, that blows my mind. Yeah, so it comes down to, well, usually, too, I can't pick the Giants to win because I'm counting on Daniel Jones to turn the ball over. like he does. I think I wrote to you the stat here in exchange. It's 46 combined fumbles and interceptions in 22 career games played. And if you extrapolate that back to Duke, his college playing days, it's 94 in 56 games. So, you know, turnovers kind of just always seem to be an issue for him. And, you know, it could come down to which quarterback is, yeah, it's not even necessarily who plays better, as which one plays less worse and can at least be careful with the ball. And I think that's really what the Eagles need to do here. And it was disappointing to see that for the Eagles against the Cowboys, because it was like, that was kind of the expectation. It wasn't like, okay, Carson Wentz doesn't need to be a hero here. He doesn't need to go all out and be amazing and have, you know, this great game against the Cowboys. Like, he just needs to not mess up. And sure enough, he turns the ball over 4 times. Now, they still won, but, like, that shouldn't be the recipe for success there. He needs to be more careful with the ball. If not, then it could be finally the game the Eagles lose to the Giants.
And it's been, you know, you mentioned some of the numbers. It's been 8 straight now that the Eagles have beaten the Giants. And you know, throughout some of those losses, and even going back a little bit farther, you know, you go back to the DeSean Jackson punt return, back that far. And I keep shaking my head at some of these things that happen between the Giants and the Eagles. And it's like, you know, how did that happen? Because that's a game that should have been won by the Giants. And it seems to happen over and over. And kind of with you, like you did, though, I have a little bit of a standing policy of not picking the Giants to win a quote-unquote big game until they prove to me that they can. And yet this week I picked them to beat the Eagles, just because I feel like they're on somewhat of an upswing, and I feel like that time has to come sooner or later when a ball bounces the Giants' way in the last minute of a game, and or somebody makes a catch instead of dropping a ball, or a defensive back doesn't blow an assignment and allow a 50-yard completion in the last minute of a game, you know, that shouldn't happen, or God forbid somebody kicks a 60-yard field goal as time expires to win a game. I just feel like sooner or later the breaks have to go the Giants' way in one of these games. It's almost, I don't know about you, and it's kind of worked out in your favor, but it's almost inexplicable to me the way some of these things have happened down the stretch of some of these games.
Yeah, it's like a law of averages thing. It's like they're due. Like, they have to win at some point here. Like, it's going to happen eventually, right? Yeah, I almost wonder if the Eagles get into these spots in these games where, like, they're able to come back in part because they know they always beat this team. So it's like, oh, we don't need to worry about it. Like, they have a confidence. And I wonder if that is in the Giants' heads at some point, too. It's like, wow, we can never beat this team. I don't know if it's a real thing, but it kind of makes me wonder when you look at, you know, the results. But, yeah, I'm looking at this as if the Giants want this game more. They need this game more in terms of, like, I think they're going to be hungrier for this game. Now, you know, you can say whatever, how much does that actually matter? You know, they're professionals. You know, they're all trying hard. But I really think, like, more than ever, especially after losing that game the way they did in Week 7 where they were so close to victory. I mean, the Giants, the Eagles only scored 10 points in that game for the first 54 minutes or so.
Right, you know, it was back at the end. What was it, an 11-point lead with yes. 6 minutes to play?
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, the Giants could have won that game, and I think that's going to be the message. Like, we're so close. And I think, you know, you look at how the Giants are playing here, and they're playing teams tough. And I just think it could be that time where, you know, they get one over on the Eagles finally here. It would be, like, you know, a huge deal, I would feel like, at least from the outsider's perspective, of Joe Judge, like, okay, we finally got this. It's a signature win for him as a first-year head coach. It's like, we finally beat that team we could never beat for. It's been, like, I have the number here of the amount of days it's been since the last time. It was back during the 2016 season. But, yeah, it's like 1,468 days now, or 67 days now, since the Giants have beaten the Eagles. And, you know, that'll only extend by a lot if the Giants don't win this week. So I think this is, like, finally their time to do it.
That's insane. I really don't think I wanted to know that number. Anyway, Brandon, hey, thank you very, very much for stopping by, for chatting Giants Eagles, and we'll see how Sunday goes, and we'll see, you know, if somebody in this division can at least get somewhere close to a 500 record this season. So thanks again for stopping by. And Giants fans, thank you very, very much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.